Excuse me, everybody. Pardon me. Hello. I don't have any gavel to bang. I was asking Steve in his new position for a gavel, but he didn't bring it with him, so I'm sorry. We had an open spot in the agenda with the departure of Larry Strickling. As I mentioned just before heading off to lunch, or heading here for lunch, that we're going to try to have an informal discussion about the accountability issue, something that you all noted from a planning perspective was an important topic, and something that we thought would be of still good value to talk about as a group. It happened that we also were going to be joined by Steve Crocker, Teresa Swinehart, Fadi's here as well. So we thought it might offer a really good opportunity for a relatively brief exchange of views, about 45 minutes or so. Rudy Vancenick has offered to be our chair for this section of the meeting. Again, the watchword here is informal, so please don't stop eating. If you want to go up and get something else, please feel free to do so. This will be, a helpful and useful discussion for the next 45 minutes or so, at which time we'll be back on the agenda for a plenary session with Fadi for the time period from 2 to 4. So with that general understanding, Rudy, I'll pass the baton over to you to run the next 40 minutes or so. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I was asked to do it very quickly, so I jumped into the swimming pool, and I hope I'm not going to dive too far away. We all know that the accountability is a topic that needs a lot of discussion and attention, and it's a pity that we don't have Larry Strickling here to bring some more information. But in replacement, we have among us Steve Crocker and Teresa Swinehart. And I think it's good if we could ask maybe Teresa to give us a view on what the status is today. There is a lot of information that has been shared, but I think that it's good if we could have a more detailed view on the status of the accountability today. And I think that also Steve will have some additional information to share with us. After Teresa's intervention, I will open up the queue for questions, and we will then see if we can manage to end up at 2 o'clock. So, Teresa, if you can bring up your information that you want to share with us.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So first, thank you very much for just the chance to be here and to have a conversation. These kinds of things are incredibly useful and I think important as we're moving these dialogues forward. I don't want to, I think everybody is quite familiar. The Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability has now been formed and established, and thank you, everybody, for all the work that went into that with the selection of the members and of the participants. It's been extremely active and very busy with numerous conference calls, including conference calls every week, and then sub-conference calls occurring amongst the participants and the group members. So I know that it's been a lot of time from the volunteer community, and this is obviously very, very appreciated. There is a face-to-face meeting of the Accountability Working Group occurring in Frankfurt on the 19th and 20th of next of this month. Of course, there'll be remote participation for the participants and the dialogues focused in there. And Steve Del Bianco and others are obviously actively involved in this, and Matthew and many I see around the room, so please contribute to the anticipation or expectations out of that. I think a core objective is really looking at what's been identified as issues to address in what's called Workstream 1. That is, issues around accountability that go specifically to the changing historical relationship with the U.S. administration in the context of the IANA transition itself. That is distinct from operational accountability by the respective customers or entities that have specific relationships with the IANA function itself, who are looking at how to deal with accountability maybe through SLAs or other mechanisms like that. Now, of course, for the naming community, this is a very dynamic discussion about where are those boundaries. And I think in identifying issues that can go into the work stream one of accountability will really help focus that discussion there. And I see Greg and others who are obviously active in how does one parse that out and ensure that the interconnection is also noted and the interdependency is noted. So as one proposal is moving forward, it is also linked to the other proposal and finding ways to do that in a good way. I think in regards to that, obviously, the timeline of the transition, we've talked about, you know, the goal of September and things of that factor, the community work and reaching consensus on both the IANA stewardship transition and obviously the work stream one on the accountability are fundamentally important for achieving a successful and final solution. Just to highlight one last point, in the context of more process-oriented, obviously the ICANN meeting in Singapore will have a great opportunity for a lot of work and a lot of dialogue, and I know that the Accountability Working Group is looking at some working sessions there as well. So that's where we are on the process areas. I'm more than happy to jump into anything else. Just one last highlight, I think out of some of this weekend's discussions, with the community around the naming community work, one thing that they're looking at identifying is some topics that would actually be addressed in the accountability process and trying to get those over to the accountability working group in time for their face-to-face meeting to be considered and looked at with regards to the work stream one, namely the changing historical relationship with the USG. So that's the process area there. More than happy to talk about the accountability and substantive areas, but I know that there's a lot of participants in the room who are actively engaged in that. But maybe I'll turn it over to Steve briefly, and then if it's okay, Rudy will go into a conversation. Okay.
Thank you, Teresa. So hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to see so many familiar faces. I'll come back to that in a minute, but I want to say a few words about the accountability and about the board and about the processes that we're involved in here. Sitting as I do as chair of the board, we listen quite a bit to what we hear in the community. We also listen quite a bit to what people say about us. Some of it feels a bit peculiar in a way. There's a lot of grousing about what we do or what we don't do or how much we're in charge. We try very hard, actually, not to get in the way of the community processes, the multi-stakeholder bottoms-up policy development processes. And in that regard, I think we probably do less in some respects than a traditional board of a traditional organization that sets policy from the top and sets strategic direction and gives instructions to the top-level management and then watches the execution. In many respects, that's a good fraction of that is reserved for you as opposed to us, if you want to make an us versus you distinction. One of the things that I have hoped for and continue to hope for is an uncommonly positive result of the following kind. We are not a governmental organization. I've worked for governments, I've worked with governments, and they're ponderous and clumsy in many respects, and can be extraordinarily ham-fisted at times. I've noted that we are capable of being all of that, but I keep hoping that it's not necessary. We should have the ability to be agile, we should have the ability to be responsive, and we should have even the ability to be inventive and creative when we need to be. It's a delicate balance to build an organization that achieves all of that and does so in a way that people respect and depend upon and even develop a certain amount of affection. I didn't take this job hoping that I would wind up being loved at the end of it, but my hope is that ICANN would be a respected and even appreciated, or you know, to push it even further, a treasured operation. It's hard to achieve all that because there's a lot of competing forces and there's just a ton of hard work. You know, and everybody involved knows that we all, and I'm talking about volunteers and staff and board and everybody, work enormously hard. There's no question about the amount of energy that goes into this. There's also no question about the level of commitment, no question about the level of intelligence. This is an incredibly smart community of people. So with those resources, so the time, the energy, the intelligence, the commitment, one would think that the rest would be easy, and yet we know that it's not. So that's the context that from where I sit. And I'm very pleased, frankly, quite pleased, to see a focus on accountability. Contrary to what some might think, we on the board are extremely committed and focused on accountability. We want because what the board does is a very, very small, you know, sort of thin layer of activity. We want the rest of the system to be as accountable as you do. It should be clear what's going on. It should be clear why it's going on. It should be clear that the right things are going on. And it should be clear that it happens with a degree of efficiency and effectiveness that is what we expect. So we welcome quite a bit a continued examination and evolution of accountability. If you came to us and said, okay, so let's dispense with all this community process, what would the board do to improve accountability? I think we could give you an answer. Might be it might match even some of the things that you expect. Might not cover everything, and that's okay. But we're in listening mode, and we're keen to understand. And at the same time, as part of that understanding, we want to understand what's real and what doesn't actually match the available facts. And so that's where things get a bit delicate. I want to turn to an entirely different topic for a moment. I mentioned as I started that it was good to see so many familiar faces. One of the topics that's floating around in the background is that we've got this pot of money that's building up from the auction proceeds. And so quite a few people are watching this and saying, well, okay, what are we going to do with it? When are we going to do something with it? And here's what I have in mind. And I've said that we're going to – I've said two strong statements. One is we're going to curtain that money off and not treat it as part of the general funds. And the other is we're going to go through a community process to make that determination. More recently, as that pot of money has begun to develop some shape and I've pushed a bit to say, okay, when are we going to do that? One of the pieces of feedback I got from my colleagues on the board is, you know, the community as a whole is stretched really thin. We're getting a lot of feedback about overload. We just don't have the bandwidth to push this through the community at this time. Let's schedule this for later. So later probably translates into shortly after the transition or something like that. I don't have a distinct thing. Meanwhile, another little activity off in a corner is that we have a tradition of meeting with former directors, people who've walked a mile or 10 miles in our shoes. And so on Tuesday mornings at each of the ICANN meetings, those former directors who are able to come and some participate by phone, we have a little chat session and we have a little email. And I took advantage of that group to get a sampling of opinions just as a starter kit to stimulate my thinking about what to do with the auction proceeds. And a number of ideas came in, and then some of them followed up and said, what are you going to do with the idea I sent you? And I said, no, wait a minute. I just wanted to get this started. We're not going to go anywhere until we do a full community process. And I sent out a status update saying, and with respect to timing, we're going to hold off on this. So I got a note that I want to share with you from Katim Touré, who was on the board from Gambia 3 years ago, from November 2008 to October 2011. And it was quite stimulating and thought-provoking. He says, thanks for updating us on the matter of what to do with the proceeds from the new GTLD program auctions. Around, I think, the board's decision to hold off on a decision on the matter because the community is, quote, too burdened, unquote, and its bandwidth is mostly soaked up by the ongoing transition discussions, is indicative of a dire need to address the issue of participation in ICANN processes. He says, I was part of a team of consultants that helped the ATRT to, as we indicated in our final report, while North America and Europe accounted for 70 and 18.7% respectively of the participants in the PDP working groups reviewed, Africa, Asia, Australia, Pacific, and Latin American Caribbean together accounted for around an eighth of working group participants. Furthermore, it was found that, quote, a small number of participants who have economic and other support for their ongoing engagement have dominated working group attendance records. I point to these findings because I think we can expect to overload the community if, in practical terms, community means the few people who have the wherewithal to partake in these discussions. The status quo also means that PDPs are captured by a few, no matter how much we try to whitewash it. For these reasons, spending part of the proceeds from the auctions, well, he goes on about with the obvious thing of, therefore, we ought to try to spend that money on increasing the participation. I'll just break off there because I thought it would be interesting to share that perspective with you all, and particularly, as I said, when I walked in and saw so many familiar faces, there was a kind of instant recognition of the positive value of the relationships that are built up and the intrinsic sort of encapsulation or insular almost relationships that we develop with respect to the entire rest of the world. So it's just intended to provoke thoughts, and I thought it might be interesting to share with this group with respect to what does it really mean to have broad participation. And it's not exactly the same as accountability, but it definitely is not disconnected from it. So with that, I will stop dominating the microphone, sit back, listen, and be happy to interact.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Teresa. I would go back first to the intervention that Teresa has been doing. She has been talking about the process, and maybe there are some questions. I saw Steve raising his hand. I thought it was on Teresa's intervention. So, Steve, you have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. Steve Del Bianco with the BC. I'm representing the Commercial Stakeholders Group on this cross-community working group, or CCWG, and I would like to add just a little bit of substantive color to some of what Teresa very accurately reported in order to inform, but also to perhaps provoke some of the discussion and learn more from all of you as to what your preferences would be. Our sixth call is tonight at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, from 1 to 3 a.m., and with a 24/7 flow of emails on top of middle of the night, Steve, I think we're gaining even a greater appreciation of what it must be like to be on the ICANN board. I don't know how you do it day in and day out for years in and year out. So do you remember that at the London meeting, all of the groups in this room stood at the microphone together, united for perhaps one of the very few times in our history, and said that we were anxious to have the community define accountability mechanisms by which the community could hold ICANN management and board accountable, methods of review and redress. And one of the work areas inside of the CCWG is coming up with an inventory of potential accountability mechanisms. The chairs asked me to lead that work area, and I quickly went through, with staff's able assistance, all of the public comments that came out this summer during the IANA transition and accountability work, came up with about 50 items, different mechanisms for accountability. And since then, another 15 or so have been added. So we currently have an active inventory list. I can just give you some sense of the spectrum. On the one hand, you could have just a handful of tweaks and improvements to existing accountability mechanisms like reconsideration, independent review, ombudsman, and the affirmation of commitments. And some of those tweaks are things you want to borrow from the ATRT. Aubrey's been great about plugging all that in. So that would be the least to expect. On the other side, there would be significantly more, more far-reaching changes to accountability. I'll give you just a couple of examples. The BC was among those that looked forth a permanent cross-community working group. We have cross-community working groups all the time. Imagine a permanent one that was stood up to have certain enumerated powers. It could do independent reviews. It could reverse a decision. It could approve or disapprove a budget or a bylaw change. It might spill the board in extraordinary measures. And those kind of enumerated powers are being discussed, whether it's a member structure or not. It's not at all clear. Another idea was a contract, an accountability contract. David Johnson came up with this idea where certain kinds of accountability could be written in a piece of paper. He hasn't decided yet what the right way to, who the signers to the contract would be. I think the last I heard was that the contract parties would sign, but then again, anyone else could. And the idea of a contract being a way to use courts to enforce accountability. There are a lot of others, other ideas among those 50 for ways to either prescribe what ICANN must do or to proscribe or prevent what ICANN to do. And there's about a dozen that are really all about transparency. So the challenge in front of us now is to organize these 50, 60 items into Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2. Workstream 1, things that we need to have in place or committed by the time we get to the INA transition in recognition of the leverage that gives. The chairs have provided a rationale for Workstream 1 I wanted to read out and get all of your sort of reaction to, since we're going to be discussing it tonight at 1 o'clock. Workstream 1 mechanisms are those that, when in place or committed to, would provide the community with confidence that any accountability mechanism that would further enhance ICANN's accountability could be implemented if it had consensus support from the community, even if it were to encounter ICANN management resistance or if it were against the interest of ICANN as a corporate entity. So the essence there is that Workstream 1, the things we want to have before the IANA transition, are really, could be a very short set. It might be a short set of accountability mechanisms to give the community the leverage it needs to push through further accountability mechanisms in the future. That's why I spoke to you about this notion of a contract or a permanent cross-community working group with certain enumerated powers. Teresa also spoke of the overlap between the IANA transition CWG and the CCWG, and recognizing that it's sort of unfortunate we have these two paths already split, but that's what it is, and we're trying to work with it. The CCWG, on a couple of our last calls and in a communique that we put out on Friday, said to the IANA naming cross-community working group that we're happy to try to provide help in the nature of this. If we are able to come up with methods of review and redress, it may well be that those would be very valuable to what the CWG is coming up with on, say, the IANA naming functions. If, for instance, the IANA naming functions were reviewed and the contractor, ICANN, were not doing a good job, we'd love to be able to provide this review and redress mechanism that could simply be used to review that contract with ICANN. So the idea is to try to be complementary and helpful, but our contract, our charter says that we in the CCWG are not supposed to touch the things that have to do with naming, protocols, or numbers. We want to be helpful, but we're not trying to encroach. There are some other things coming up on the list that would amaze you. Discussions of the public interest, what is the community, a lot of discussion of what should be in scenarios and stress tests, a lot of discussion with CCTLD, CCNSO members who are quick to tell us how to do what we're doing, but to declare once again that they don't have to follow any of the rules. It's rather interesting. And I'll conclude by saying to Steve that you are loved and appreciated. And remember the video visit you took us through with your high school when we were at the Los Angeles meeting? Sometimes the distance of time really enhances and sharpens the love and appreciation. So just picture someday, a few years from now, when you come back and to this, your high school at ICANN, we'll probably shower you with just as much admiration and love and appreciation as you can handle. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm looking around the room, and I know that after lunch it's always very difficult to get people active. But is there any other comment or question that you want to raise to Teresa so that eventually she can, maybe you can respond to what Steve is asking for?
It's actually not a response, but it just, in the spirit of sort of brainstorming our dialogue, so to speak. I think there's a couple areas, you know, where for the naming community in particular, there's a uniqueness that distinguishes it from the protocol parameter space and the IP addressing space. And, of course, those other two operational communities are putting their proposals forward specifically with regards to the transition. So in looking at ICANN's overall accountability in light of the changing relationship, it's quite important to have that cross-community working group look at that broader topic, recognizing, of course, the interdependencies on some of the issues that might be coming up in the naming space. But I just raise that as it's quite those are very important communities for the transition and ones that are important with regards to how we are looking at all of this. The other two factors, just as part of the dialogue, is, of course, NTIA has made quite clear that that aspect needs to be looked at, the importance of the work in Workstream 1. And simple versus complex, I think, is oftentimes a good direction to go. But also in light of the comments that Steve was observing, as we are looking at the transition and as we are looking at mechanisms to ensure a transition, how do we also ensure that there are mechanisms that don't yet again overburden the community in some way? Something that enables efficiency and effectiveness of achieving the results, but also one that recognizes that it's a volunteer community at work and leveraging efficiencies in that context. I don't have the answer, but in light of the conversations and the enormous policy-related work that the organization has to do, and in light of looking at how does one enable continuation of that, this transition is really a solution for a long-term sustainable, recognizing that the community has a lot of other work that it has going on, and this should be something that's a stable status quo. So I just was struck by the points that Steve raised.
Thank you, Teresa. Anybody else? Then I would move over to... Oh, sorry. Oh, yes. Greg, you have the floor. Yeah, but Klaus is for Steve.
Hi, Greg Shatton from the IPC, and I sit as the commercial stakeholder group representative, as I mentioned earlier, to the IANA transition working group. Obviously, we've also been grappling with questions of accountability. I would define it just a little bit differently than Teresa did, although agree with it in the main. It's not just accountability to customers for operational performance, but it really is accountability to the multi-stakeholder community for operational performance and for lack of performance and for the ability to get agreements on what performance constitutes. In the best of times, those all flow fairly seamlessly and nobody really notices them. When times get tough, then the questions of who's accountable for what to whom and how that accountability is achieved all of a sudden become a lot more complicated. It's been a learning experience for me, as it has been, I think, for Steve DelBianco to work so closely with the other SOs and ACs and to learn how differently their worlds operate and how they view our world just as we view theirs. It's been instructive. I think we are, working very productively in our group. I think we are continuing to explore ways to work more productively with the accountability working group, and I think there have been strides in that regard. And as is indicated, we are looking to give some indicators to that group as to how their work can be most particularly helpful to ours as they head into their face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt, a meeting which we enjoyed back in November. And which was very productive. As most of you know, we've just finished up an intensive work weekend, beginning each morning at 7 a.m. With preparations for calls, two two-hour calls a day with prep and debrief in between. And while I think we identified a number of areas of convergence, which were good, we've also continue to identify nuance that needs to be taken care of, and even bigger than nuance. And I would say that at this point, it's still very much a flexible set of solutions that we're exploring. Definitely a space that needs to be watched and continue to participate in. I hope that I and my NCSG counterpart have been doing, you know, reasonable job of keeping informed. We'll do some more. There's certainly my door is always open to anybody from anyone in this house to explore the issues. I think it is important to view this as a multi-stakeholder accountability issue, and to view what's going on in the accountability group also as multi-stakeholder, but aimed at even kind of bigger issues. Even in Workstream 1, you know, the idea is, I think, that those need to be put in place before the transition can occur, but it's not that they relate to the operational activity of IANA, but rather to what kind of needs to be in place to allow that last string that connects the U.S. government to the IANA function, and ICANN, once that is snipped, to make sure that we soar and not sink. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And we know that there are probably a lot of hours to come to cover all the meetings that we need to go through in order to finalize the process that is in front of us. As I don't see any other tags coming up, for Steve. Oh, sorry. Yep. Matthew, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. Not just to echo a couple of words and add a couple of other things to what's been said already. I am a participant, not a member, of the Stewardship and Accountability Working Groups. And in as much as those are open, transparent, welcoming of others to become involved in the processes, I think that's a marvelous thing, and it's working quite well. And I think that despite those two processes being very difficult to get into because of the intricacy that we're getting into now in terms of the proposals and the accountability mechanisms, they're still open, and that's a huge plus. What I would like to do, though, is just say that there are some challenges. Teresa said that the timelines are challenging. We have two processes that aren't totally in sync, I think is putting it mildly. As Greg said, we got through this weekend of work that was arduous. We have more clarification on some of the proposals and parts of the working group draft that was put forward at the beginning of December. So that's progress. We still have a number of issues that are outstanding. There are differences of opinion in terms of whether or not we need external or internal approaches, which we'll see more detail on some of those approaches in the upcoming week. So it's not that we don't have work to do. We just have a lot of work to do still in a very short period of time. And so somehow architecting it so that the two processes are more closely linked, and that we have the time to do the work well rather than rushed, is going to be very important going forward. And I'm not sure, obviously we're working to timelines that are established by the ICG. That's a challenge. But somewhere in that mix, we need to ensure that we get this right rather than rushing it through and missing something. We're doing this. The reason why it's so important, obviously, is it's not just for September. I mean, we're doing this for 10 years down the road. We're doing this for 20 years down the road. So we absolutely have to get this right. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. Now I'm going back to Marilyn. Sorry.
No worries.
I thought you were going to give a reaction to Steve's intervention. You have the floor, Marilyn.
No worries. Thank you. Marilyn Cade speaking. I wanted to thank Fadi and Teresa and Steve and also Marcus, who is here as a board member, for the recognition that in order for this to work, in order for the confidence of the stakeholders, and particularly the growing base of those who are affected, to have confidence in this organization that we have built and are now evolving, that this amount of work is absolutely necessary. And while the community is putting work into it, and we had a little bit of a rocky start in where perhaps we didn't fully understand each other on each side on how to proceed. That's been adjusted, and I think the community is very, the communities, I should say, are very invested in dedicating the amount of work and time. So one of the things that I think has been extremely helpful has been the recognition that ICANN funding for bringing people together for face-to-face work, not just trying to do this extremely complicated, very delicate surgical engineering for at least 10 years in the future, if not more. And I would say it's probably going to be more than 10 years. That it does take face-to-face time, and I appreciate the fact that the budget has been put forward to bring together the people who've stepped up to be members of the group. I am an observer, not even a participant, because I've chosen to spend my time for now on the CCWG-IG. I may move to participant because I bring a lot of history, having made two previous proposals about accountability and reform of ICANN. But the thing I can really acknowledge is the transparency, and I want to be careful about the use of the word transparency, the availability of the materials in a timely manner, and the fact that there's a clear effort to speak in lay language by the chairs and by others is very helpful. And I know it's still dense, but I just want to compliment the support that ICANN all the way down the line as the organization and the staff, and the clearly collaborative recognition that has developed.
Thank you, Marilyn, for these nice words. We still have somebody in the queue. Oh, Greg, you want to come back to that?
I just wanted to respond briefly to and build on what Marilyn said and respond to another thread that of one of Teresa's earlier remarks. First, I have been incredibly gratified by the staff support that the CCWG IANA has received. I've gotten used to a very high level of staff support over the years, and I can, but I have to say that the staff support for this has gone beyond my wildest expectations. They've been with us every step of the way, working harder as we have, and it's just been truly amazing to me. I know that some of them are also working equally hard on the accountability working group, which I find astounding, not just amazing. Probably we'll see somebody fall, asleep at their desk at some point if it hasn't already happened. But in any case, that's on the other hand, I think that what we need in terms of support is support kind of during the nuts and bolts of the rest of the time that we do. I think that the constituencies, the stakeholder groups, really could use more kind of day-to-day support. We've been blessed recently with a small piece of Brenda Brewer's time to support us in Secretariat, which I think is very useful. I think we need to, though, find the same kind of support for doing the things that don't need to be done by participants, that can be done by in terms of support, and also to support us more in terms of outreach and engagement, and for the outreach and engagement to stakeholders to lead to ultimately to a greater participation in the stakeholder groups and constituencies. I sometimes feel like there's a disconnect, that the road hasn't been built all the way to the SOs, NACs, and the constituencies, that it kind of ends at the ICANN meetings and kind of the general plenary, and leaves them short of being admitted to this room, so to speak, for what good or ill that is to have achieved entry into this room. So we'll just encourage continuing to look at how it can support this. The multi-stakeholder model doesn't work if we work all of the stakeholders to the bone, and part of that time is spent on doing ministerial stuff that could be done with support to the groups. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Looking to the clock. Yeah, sorry, Teresa, you want to give an answer?
Thank you, Greg. I will definitely take that back and then work with the chairs and co-chairs on that. So thank you.
So I have two people in the queue for some questions or comments to Steve's intervention. Klaus, you have the floor.
Yes, Steve. I want to come back to what you said about the auction money. NPOC wrote an email to you about not on what, but how to spend the auction money. And our proposal was, and everything we see it in that context is under the topic of sustainability. And the proposal we had was quite simply to say, why don't we spend it as an endowment, which may mean not so much money available in the first place, but for a long and sustainable time. And I think that should be something which should be considered. And to the what you read out is basically in the same thing on the sustainability. And I think not only do we need more people working, we need also more people who are able to participate for longer and long times in these processes. And this is not only a problem of people in developing areas. We are facing the reality, for example, in my case, and in a lot of other people, is it much more acute, that you spend 4 to 6 weeks of your year, basically your holidays and things like that, on this, and every little bit more takes you out of the process. And it's not about giving us money, it's about helping us how to sustain that somehow. And as a last and as a very personal comment, sir, you're not only loved, you're also respected. And that, I think, is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus.
I'll just respond very, very briefly. I don't want to get into I think it would be a disservice, and certainly not what I intended, for us to spend too much time on the auction issue. But one of the things that has shaped in my mind from the initial interactions is that there's four broad areas of discussion. There is, of course, a number of very specific proposals of what to do. Please do it this or that or the other thing. Another is a handful of principles involved. Another is a set of mechanisms, of which one favorite one is start a foundation. And the reason why I call that a mechanism is because it still leaves open the question of, so what are you going to do with it? It's just and then finally is a set of process questions of who should be consulted and how should we go about it and so forth. I'll just emphasize once again, no decisions have been made. I'm just sharing with you sort of the state of play, and I've been very concerned that we be responsive to the pressure from the community that something happened. And as I said when I put this in front of the board, that we should try to move forward, they pushed back quite firmly and said, but we've got not enough bandwidth available in the community, lots of pushback on too many things happening. And so in some sense, that was, you won't find a resolution on this, but that was the sense that I got from my fellow board members. So all of the ideas, including what you've just said, are fair game. And we're trying to keep track of them, but in any case, we will open a process that has all of the usual formality and documentation and transparency and all of that to it. It just, we're not there yet. Thank you. And ideas like endowment have been mentioned before. Part of the question is, okay, so you've got this much money. How do you use it effectively? There are certainly things that are way too big to do with a certain amount of money. There are things that are too small. Don't bother with it. There are things that you can do once, but you can't do repetitively. The endowment raises the issue of, well, suppose you wanted to be in for the long term. What could you do with the money? And then that's another sort of slash between mechanism and principle.
Next is Walid, then I have Jonathan, and to close the queue, Rafiq.
It's Walid Al-Sakaf for the record. I'm talking about perhaps the other topics, not necessarily accountability. I come from the Middle East, the Arab world, and much of the problems we have in terms of understanding ICANN is the intrinsic structure, difficult structures and complex procedures that deal with it. And I'm really glad that part of the efforts of ICANN that have been really successful is the outreach in the Middle East by Fadi Zatayna, for example. That's one area that I believe I could contribute in giving an opinion of is idea here is that for the first time ever, an ICANN representative of such a profile has come to Yemen, a country that's often, unfortunately, portrayed negatively in media. But they have brought some very long-term, positive consequences to ICANN's image for the first time. And part of it was they have developed an idea that we are approaching you because we have not approached you before. So it's like a beginning of a new trend in ICANN, beginning that we are extending an arm to areas that have not been heard of before, that their voices have not been delivered to ICANN before. And I can see that there is a momentum picking up, but the challenge here is how to maintain this momentum. And part of it is referring back to the money and auction. Maybe I'd propose something here. I already know that the ICANN Fellowship Program is the most dominant method of bringing in voices and people from the developing world, and I really admire that program, given that I myself was a fellow and several of my colleagues here. But what we also can do, ICANN can do, is develop, a connection to those fellows later on, not mainly giving the fellowship and leaving them and having them find their way into ICANN, which has happened many times before, but giving them an extended, some sort of extended support as ambassadors, as people who have been to the process and can build communities around them in those countries. So extending the arm of ICANN apart from the center and moving on to the periphery, to people who may have better ideas for ICANN. And as we can know, I mean, the next billion users will come from the south. So if we do not think long-term, we may be losing a lot in potential. And then there's IPv6. And various aspects of long-term thinking would require us to move on to extending to those areas and groups. And I mentioned the fellowship program as an example, but it could be many other programs as well. So I'm happy through the NCUC to provide ideas and opinions of maybe contribute in actual work and activities on the ground in that aspect.
I'm giving the mic to Jonathan.
Always a mistake. Thanks, you got Jonathan Zook from ACT. I first want to begin with just a very short caveat on this issue related to auction funds and participation, and that is that it's been my experience over the past 8 years that presence does not equate to participation. And so I think it's we're very careful to view that coming to a meeting is a real proxy for greater participation from other communities. We may need to take a more nuanced and sophisticated view of that, which may include, for example, multi-language support outside of ICANN meetings, for example, in work group calls and things like that, finding ways to allow more people to participate remotely, because there's plenty of people that come that aren't participating in work groups either. I secondly wanted to express my appreciation for Bruce's participation on the cross-community working group on accountability. I think it's been very productive and constructive, and I know that as you said, Steve, that it can be an environment in which it's easy to feel defensive and come to believe that everybody crying for reform is motivated by the current board, right? And I think it behooves all of us to completely separate this discussion from any discussion of the current board and instead be talking about a hypothetical board of monsters down the road, right? Or misguided or whatever it might be that has nothing to do with the status quo, that just has to do with creating accountability mechanisms for hypothetical situations we might encounter in the future. And so my question to you actually is if you might just share a little bit of gossip from inside the board, which is, we've had a conversation in the group about whether to run things by the board or something like that, and I think there was kind of consensus not to do that, but I in the interim, before making recommendations, right? So, but I guess if there's some other way to approach this, is there anything in calls you've had or conversations, casual conversations, that the board is afraid of hearing from the community? Is there anything that, this just came up, I hope this doesn't make it through the process or anything like that? I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but is there any kind of hesitations you have or concerns that you have about things that you see percolating in these conversations that you might want to draw our attention to?
Thank you, Jonathan. I have the request to try to close as quickly as possible, so the last one in the queue is Rafik.
Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Steve, for bringing up the topic of the auction. Speaking here as the co-chair of the JAS or the new GTLD applicant support working group, in that time, we in the report, we suggested the creation of foundation to manage auction. And so there are several ideas in that report, so you can use that. It was in 2011, so the work already started from that time, so we can... I mean, there are several proposals. I'm just in bringing up this for now.
Let me respond to Jonathan's comments about the board is remarkably less interesting than you're suggesting, even in terms of the amount of gossip. To I was trying to think of something juicy. I won't go so far as to say we're a boring group, but nothing comes quickly to mind as to the kind of thing you're talking about. Our strongest focus is enablement of the community processes. The idea of, you know, when I listen to you about running something by the board to see what our reaction might be, is... that we're not sitting there in a kind of closed chamber of, you know, having a lot of decisions that we're going to make, and we give you a an indication of which way we're going to go. It's not we really. The ideal is that very little of what we do should be a surprise because the community has already participated and the processes have already gone to conclusion. Now, we have certain responsibilities as a corporate board, so we have to review FOTI's performance. We have to look at some other aspects. We have an audit committee that makes sure that the finances are properly handled. We have all the other mechanisms, and we have, and so that's one portion of what we do. And then, of course, we interact with all of the SOs and ACs. There's a handful, I would say, of decisions. I mean, this auction thing, so apologies for focusing on it, is a particular thing where we've said, okay, listen, we're going to handle it in this way, but that's as far as that goes, and then it goes back to the community for what's going to happen. As I say, I'm not thinking that there is a lot to be gained by... And of course, the other thing you asked, is there anything we're afraid of? Not really. No, we're here for you, really. I mean, we're eager to hear whatever there is to hear. There is substantially less ego and zero self-interest in the board as a board, as a separate institution, despite what I understand is the appearance from the outside that there's something going on there. And one of my challenges is how do we bridge that distance? And here's one thing I'll share with you. When I came in, I've been on the board for several years, but when I took over as chair, one of the practices which I had been observed for several years that I thought was inappropriate was we would fiddle with the drafting of resolutions kind of on the spot. And that led to 3 a.m. drafting sessions the night before a public board meeting. Well-intentioned, but I think not the right thing. We've killed that off. We do a better job of preparation, or we just defer or whatever. Another element of this is that we try to have the substantive discussions outside of the formal board meetings, whether they're in public or whether they're in our normal telephonic sequence or privately. One consequence of that, that's been working. We no longer have 3-hour board meetings to do 1 hour's worth of work. But as a consequence, the formal board meetings look sterile and scripted, which is in effect the result of all of that. And so it's not unreasonable for people outside of that to say, well, where does the real stuff take place? Can we record the board meetings, or can we get inside of that? And I'm empathetic to that, but it's a little trickier. I mean, you got to have at some point some discussion. But the other side of it is that we're really faced with very strong forces from two sides that try to keep the board out of having, in fact, a substantive discussion. The staff tries to give us a packaged up, this is what we want to do, and here's all the reasons for it. And the community gives us, in various ways, formal and informal, here's what we've decided. And by the time it comes to the board for a decision, the only thing that both groups want is for the board to say yes. And then we got 20 people who are pretty active and interested and feel very strongly about trying to be helpful and feel to some extent that they are representatives and of the community. So there's a kind of inherent tension there, which I've been focused on for a period of time. How do we sort that out? We're a board like no other board, and there isn't an analog to the way ICANN is structured. Quite a lot of work has been spent on looking at the structure of ICANN, the structure of ICANN board, and it's it is quite distinct.
Thank you, Steve. Maybe I can say that the only thing you're afraid of is us not being here. I have a last intervention from Andrew.
Thanks, Steve. So I'm listening, and I'm hearing kind of two distinct themes across the morning. One of them is about the fact that everyone feels really overwhelmed and overworked, and the other one is a desire to do more outreach and bring more voices to the table. And I can see how the two of those are a little bit in conflict. I know that ICANN as an organization is trying very, very hard to reach out more, but it's still a very, very, very small part of our portfolio, and the vast majority of people, majority of Earthlings, don't have any idea that we exist, right? So I'm wondering, how can we do this in your mind? How can we work more closely with the board to make outreach more of an ongoing conversation, especially with the Global South, where Jonathan says is really true. People, just because you show up, there's so much to absorb. It's oftentimes in a second language or a third language. It's very, very difficult for people to participate. We talk oftentimes with our friends in Africa who sit on zillions of working groups, and they are themselves overwhelmed. And yet we know we need this to be real if ICANN is going to get to the next level and we're going to achieve the internationalization that everyone thinks is important. Huh?
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, I'll say a word or two. So my background is technical in nature, so when I listen to your challenge there, I start to think about how to break it down into its components and how do you solve it as almost as an engineering problem. There's obviously multiple dimensions. There are the geography imposes some issues of distance. There are huge differences in the technical capabilities. Communications is not the equivalent all around the world. There are language difficulties, obviously. There are time zone difficulties. An interesting question is to what extent will technology be helpful if we know how to apply it better? Another question is, centralization is antithetical to scaling, and so the question is how can we decentralize more, regionalize, get people all involved in a more distributed fashion in some fashion. So, you know, we've taken some steps with having a headquarters broken up into three parts, but that's just a step at the very top. Of the staff organization, how can we, you know, this meeting's taking place in Washington, D.C., which certainly we all know who live here is the center of the world, but maybe that's not the correct view from every other perspective. That's a joke for the record if anybody is keeping track. So I don't think it's trivial, but I think it's a very worthy set of questions that we could try to attack. And it might be interesting to get some metrics associated with this and then try to measure ourselves along those metrics over time.
Thank you, Steve. I have to be very impolite. I have to cut off because we are running out of time. We are 15 minutes over time, and I got maybe one intervention? Okay. Steve, you wanted to do a quick interaction, and then I saw Tony raising and Stephanie.
Thank you, Rudy. It's a very quick reaction to something that, that Steve Crocker said in response to Jonathan Zook. Steve, you said that our primary concern is enablement of community processes. I agree completely, and it's apparent. In this CCWG, we have an additional priority, which is to protect the community processes. So, for instance, these mechanisms I discussed earlier, the notion of a permanent cross-community working group or a member group, none of the enumerated powers that have been discussed in the CCWG would enable it to override and change a policy that came from the bottom-up process or a budget that came up to change it or to change a bylaw recommendation request. It's all about yes or no review, send it back, reverse the decision. It's not about rewriting, so I agree with you there. And when you mentioned that the board is not about ego or self-interest, that there has never been any implication by anybody in the CCWG or the community that there was self-interest at all. It's more of a recognition that there will be times, rare, but times when the interests of the corporation differ from the interests of the community, and in those instances, we want the community to have an ability to overturn. Just give you two quick examples. One would be a bottom-up consensus policy recommendation that might increase the risks of lawsuits on ICANN. Well, then the interests of the corporation might not match with the community. Another example, Greg in the CWG might suggest that the IANA naming functions review team is recommending that the IANA contract be pulled from ICANN 15 years from today. If that happened, you can well imagine that a board that's in place then would say that's not in the corporation's interest to give up the IANA contract, but it might be the community consensus. So those are the kind of issues. It's never been about self-interest, and I agree with you completely on the need to make sure that the community's desires are preserved.
Thank you, Steve. Stephanie, and then Tony.
Just a quick, Stephanie Perrin for the record, just a quick follow-up on Waleed's comments about the successful interventions, particularly in the in the Global South. I can only speak for the NCSG, but we do have people saying we really need mentors to help us be effective in the working groups. We'd like to sign up and work on projects, but and I know ICANN is making efforts in the education area. Personally, I went to the MISON Internet Governance School, and it was great. I think some of the money from the auctions could profitably be spent not just in special programs like that, but also in having kind of targeted seminars on particular topics so that people could get sort of the history, the lingo, the various different perceptions of a topic, maybe on the borders of an ICANN meeting or maybe through a webinar, but it would really help, I think, for some of these things because it's very difficult to keep it all in your head when you're a newbie. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Tony?
Yeah, this is Tony Harris. I hope I'm not going off topic, but I did hear the concern about increasing internationalization of the ICANN. I've just concluded two outreach events with ICANN, one in Mexico, in Guadalajara, and one in Santo Domingo, which went very well and surprised a lot of people. One of the problems that we have, I don't see any solution in sight yet, is the fact that it's hard to get enthusiasm from developing regions for the business opportunities that ICANN offers, which at present would be becoming a registrar. The entry barriers to becoming a registrar are significant. I have pointed them out several times, especially working in the LAC Regional Strategy Group, and we have had a lot of assurances that this will be looked at and resolved. But, I mean, honestly, we get pushback from the registrars saying, why are you going to get some privileges? Who had a bigger privilege than they? They could carve up everything that Network Solutions gave up when they became registrars. There were millions of registrations there up for grabs. A new registrar starting business today does not have that to go to. He has to start from one, right? One registration. So I think that might deserve a little attention, because otherwise there aren't too many things that you can point out to developing communities that would sort of engage them significantly in ICANN, unless they're interested, of course, in policy work. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Herewith, I want to close this session and thank Steve and Teresa for your information and your participation. I think it was a very good session.
And I'm handing over back to Robert for the next.
A very brief hand back. Thank you very much, Rudy. Our next session that we're scheduled to do is the session with our CEO, Mr. Chahadi. I believe that Tony has given up his seat for you, Fadi, so you can become Tony Holmes for an hour and a half or so. We went over a little bit on this session. We originally had 2 hours blocked.